My subject this morning is from Hosea chapter 10, as Pastor read it for us. I will read verse 12 for you. It says like this, chapter 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. This is a very wide subject, but I have to go through it in step by step way. As the pastor was telling us briefly about the overall prophecy of Hosea, Hosea was one of the prophets in Israel, in the northern kingdom, and he ministered in the northern kingdom of Israel in the year 755 to 744 BC. And he was a minister in Israel, from Israel. Most of the prophets who came to Israel and prophesied were from southern region, but he was from the region of Israel, and he was prophesying the word of God to that nation in that period and in that time. Of course, in the history of Hosea, you can, if you know history of Israel, Israel was in a great dangerous time. It was being conquered by Assyrians, and they were taken to captivity by Assyrians soon in 722. But when I come to give you the background of the prophecy, I want to say something about the prophet himself. The prophet was known as Israel's zero-time prophet. Israel was in a zero time, or I should say in a zero hour, because the judgment of God was coming in to them. And this prophet was warning them and asking them to come back to the Lord. But the prophet was also known a broken heart prophet. He was deeply touched by the misery, by the sinfulness of the whole nation, because Israel was in a big apostasy at that time. And the prophet was also called a weeping prophet, as Jeremiah was known. Jeremiah was commonly known a weeping prophet, and this one was also called a weeping prophet. And people gave him another name as well. He was known a prophet of love, as the Gospel of John author, the Apostle John was known as the Apostle of love. But when we come to see what was going on in the nation, I want to say something about a nation, Israel. Israel, throughout the book of the prophet Isaiah, is presented as unfaithful wife who has deserted her husband and gone after others. Israel was really in sinful state, and they were worshipping idol, as Pastor was reading us from my text, chapter 10. The Lord God described about Israel, and he said in verse 1, Israel is an empty vine. He brings forth fruit unto him. Selfishness and self-loving was ruling the life of Israelites. According to the multitude of his fruit, he has increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. They were going in a very far way in sinfulness and in rebelliousness. So this was the description of Israel at that time. And I have another description in verse 2. You can see their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. he shall spoil their images. The heart of many of the Israelites was divided. What it means to have a divided heart? If you have a divided heart, you do not have a focus in everything that you are doing. If you have a divided heart, you would be confused. If you have a divided heart, it is really difficult to live a peaceful life in your own life. So they were like that. They were divided in their heart. They were not able to choose what is right because of the divided heart. So this was the description of Israel at that time. And when you see what is going on in that time, you can imagine some of the things when you read verse 13. If I bring you to read verse 13 of the chapter 10, you can see what is going on. God explained and described their own sinfulness, and he said, "You have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies." They were liars because thou didst trust in thy way. They were trusting their own ways, not the faith in the Lord, but they trusted their own ways in the multitude of thy mighty men as well. So they were choosing the opinion of men, and they were trusting not in God, but in their mighty men. And they were very far from the standard and from the honor of God. This is the description of Israel. What about God himself? If we come to see in the book, throughout the book, God is represented in a very gracious way. And it is a representation of God, our God, even this time. God, even though the people were rebellious and sinful, he was seeking after them to save Israel. And he was inviting them back. And he is the same even today. He invites us to come back to himself. And he is gracious. He is merciful. He is loving. So you can see his love time and again. Especially I have a classic passage in chapter 14. When the Lord God asked them to return to himself. If I may read it for you. Chapter 14, verse 1, verse 2, and verse 5. And the whole chapter is amazingly describing the character of God. So let me read it for you. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. God said to them, you have fallen by your iniquity, but you can come. And he is stretching out his hand, and he is inviting them, turn unto me. Why are you going to be astray? And why are you going to be punished and judged? This is the message of God. And he mentioned to them in verse 2, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. It's amazing. He even guided them how to repent their sins and how to come to him. What to say when they come to him. So turn to me, take my word and say it before me and ask me to forgive you. He is guiding and directing them. And I appreciate God. Always he does this. He asks us to come back to him. And he asks us to repent our sins and willing to forgive us, of course. So he said, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. God never forsake his people, but we made ourselves to be forsaken by him because of our sins. So the situation, the overall situation we are seeing in Hosea is a picture of what is going on in our world now. America, USA, has gone very far from the standard of God. And we see everywhere, in the heart of mind, children, and government, and in the high offices, and on the streets, you see sinfulness and wickedness. And openly in America, there is a Satan worship. I'm not sure whether you heard it or not. In one of the counties, I think it is in California, a priest ordained to serve Satan appeared in one of the county offices, and she opened the meeting by prayer to Satan. It's amazing. Can you imagine this to happen in America? It is an unimaginable thing. So America has gone very far and far. You can see, just like Israelites were in Hosea, you can see America is very near to be judged by God. Of course, it is under judgment as well. So this is the situation we can see from the prophet Isaiah. But I don't want to proceed without asking you a few questions to come to my main subject. So I have a question for you. What do you do when you see things are going bad and bad in your nation? What are you going to do? And what are you going to do when politics is not right, as you might think it? What are you going to do when economy is corrupted and worldwide bankruptcy is going on? And what are you going to do when the standard of moral life is broken down from the heart of children to the old people? What are you doing? This is a challenge we are finding in Hosea by few remnants, of course. What do you think you do when family life is not as you expected? There are so many divorces and so many abortions in the land of America, of course, not only in America, in all the world as well. What do you think you do when you are in a distressed economical situation? What do you do when you are sick and when you are in undesirable situation? These all things I am asking you is bringing me or driving me to that particular subject, which I'm really appreciating. It is time to seek the Lord. So the Lord God, in this chapter in Hosea, after mentioning so many things, showing the wickedness of Israelites, came and declared this particular phrase, which I'm going to speak about. He said, "For it is time to seek the Lord." It is really time in America to seek the Lord. It is really time in your personal life to seek the Lord. Not any other thing, but only to seek the Lord. So this is the message Hosea was presenting and giving to the people of Israel. But when I come to explain it, I'm going to mention about 4 points from this particular phrase. You can forgive me by not going into the depths of so many things in Hosea, because time is not going to allow me. So I want to explain a few things about this. It is time to seek the Lord. But first of all, I want to mention, what is to seek the Lord? What does it mean? What is it to seek the Lord? The word to seek is actually in an infinitive form in English language. And in my language, it is not actually directly translated as it is found in the English King James Version. But to seek means to mafalleg, if you like, we call it mafalleg. So the Lord God asks Israelites to seek him. And this word occurs 164 times in the whole Bible. And in Hebrew, it is darash. Darash is closer to Amharic word, derasa. So Amharic has some connection with the Hebrew language, and some of the words are found in the Hebrew language. There are so many of them, really. So it means to frequent to a place. So to seek means to frequent to a place, to come and to trample, to stand on a particular place time and again. It has such kind of meaning in the Hebrew language. But it must be done with an intention to get a result and to get what is desired. If you have a desire to get something, you have to seek for it. It is the explanation of this. It is an intensive word in its nature, and it shows you need to stretch forward your whole being or your whole focus in order to get and to grasp something that is desired by your inside. So this is the way how it is described in the Bible. So in order to get a result, in order to achieve something, you have to persistently move forward in order to get that particular thing. So it is seeking. Seeking is explained like this. But this seeking that is mentioned here is connected with time. And the Lord God is saying, it is time. The time to seek him is now. Not tomorrow, not after tomorrow, not after some kind of change is coming, but we have to seek the Lord now. Of course, the one who is going to be sought is the Lord himself, gracious, merciful, and loving God. So these all things should be considered in my first question, what is to seek the Lord? But the next question I want to mention is, why to seek the Lord? You have seen some of the points I mentioned earlier when we describe about Israel and when we are also talking how sinful they are. But I have some important points to mention as time is running against me. You know, Israelites were seeking so many things that was destroying them. And this is the nature of humanity. We seek something that is going to destroy us. Sin and sinfulness, worldliness and worldly pleasure. We are going to search for it. And the final destiny would be like Israelites. We would lead us to be judged by God. So they were seeking, rather than God, worldly things. They were seeking idol worship. And the worship was totally abominable before the presence of the Lord. When Pastor Weigel was teaching us from his Ezekiel this morning, even inside the wall, I can figure the wall a little bit wider wall than the common wall, and inside of it there were priests, 70 of them. They were worshipping creeping things. It's amazing what was happening in Israel. And it's amazing what is happening in this world as well. Millions of people are seeking things that is destroying them. So why we seek Lord? In order to be saved by him. So the only savior is our Lord God. Whatever thing we seek to fulfill our desire and to fulfill our whatever imagination we have is going to destroy us. Is not going to help us at all. They were on the way on their way of judgment. So they should seek the Lord. I mentioned here in my note that they were hearing the alarm bell of war. War is coming. Assyrians are encircling them around. And of course, the people didn't hear and they were not obedient. And the Assyrians came in 722 and took them to captivity. So they were in a difficult situation. They need and we need to seek the Lord because we need forgiveness. There are so many things we need from the hand of the Lord. And one of the crucial things is that we need forgiveness from the hand and from the mercy of our Lord. We need to be restored and they need to be restored to peaceful situations. They need protection from the Lord. They know the Lord our God was protecting them, but by being sinfulness, we took off the protection that we can get from our God. So they took off the protection that he provided for them. So they need forgiveness, they need protection, they need to be restored, and they need so many things from the hand of God. And of course, they should seek the Lord. The reason why they should seek the Lord is he is the only one who can help them. So, friends, this morning, I want to press on this message that the only one who can help us in every situation of our life is the Almighty Lord. He is the only one. So we have to seek him. We have to come him. We have to come to him. And I have a few points here. I mentioned, are you worried? It is time to seek the Lord. Are you sick and in pain? It is time to seek the Lord. Are you distressed because of unspoken things? Here in our prayer meeting, in the morning prayer meeting, people show their hands and tell they have unspoken prayer items. Do you have unspoken pain inside of you? It is time to seek the Lord. Are you young? It is time to seek the Lord. Youth is very good and full of energy, but it is time to seek the Lord. Are you old? You are not waived from seeking the Lord. It is time for you to seek the Lord, to get strength, to be encouraged by him. It is time to seek the Lord. Are you confused on what is going on in America? Don't give up, but understand it is time to seek the Lord. Are you alone and suffer loneliness? I can tell you it is time to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord. He will be with you. He will come along with you. And he will draw near to you. And he will comfort and encourage you. And he will sustain you. He will really release that unspeakable gifts to you and to help you always. It is because we need to seek him, because he is willing to be found. It's amazing. God is willing to be found. Whenever you seek him, he is there. Whenever you stretch your hand and you come in prayer before his presence, he says, I am here, of course, by a spirit. And it is the only way to see and to get revival in our church and in our land. Seeking the Lord is vital. It is time to seek the Lord. I know we are small in this church. We are few. In my background introduction, I wrote these things. Some of us, because of what we are seeing happening in this land, might be discouraged and might say, there is no hope for this land. But there is hope for this land. If we gather together and if we seek the face of the Lord, and the Lord will come down and will bring great revival, and many, many people can flood and can come in our midst and can be saved by the gracious and by the mighty power of our Lord. So when I'm describing this, I have to go and I have to pass to how to seek the Lord. Why we seek? I described it. But how to seek the Lord? Some of us might need how to do. In this time and age, if you buy a computer or a laptop, there are things that people would love to give you, the how to do this and how to do that. And seeking the Lord needs also to know how to do it. How are we going to seek the Lord? The passage gives us so many important information, but I want to pinpoint a few things, about four things. In order to seek the Lord, we must acknowledge who he is. If you don't know who the Lord is, you cannot really come before him and seek after him. So knowledge of God and acknowledging who he is very, very important. He is the Holy One of Israel. He is so merciful. And he is just and he is righteous. Not only this one, yet he is willing to be approached. Of course, he is approachable. No one is approachable like our God. You can approach him. If you come on the right way and on the terms he has given to humanity to approach him, he has given us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we can approach our God. If we come through Christ, and through Christ alone, you can really approach him. And he will be forgiving for us. Of course, it must be by the help of the Holy Spirit. And the how to seek, we must acknowledge these things. And the second point I want to mention is, we must come in humble repentance. The passage in my text, verse 12, says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. Pastor puts it in a very good way. And our worship and our approach before the presence of God shouldn't be shallow. It should be deep. We have to break our heart. And we have to truly repent our sins before the presence of the Lord. If we truly repent and mean it from our heart, the Lord God will visit us and will be willing to accept our repentance and to grant us mercy and forgiveness according to his great and gracious kindness. And our approach and our seeking of the Lord must be by faith. We must have deep trust in the mercy and graciousness of our God. Faith in Christ and on what he has done on Calvary Cross is very much needed in order to seek the Lord. So how we can seek him? By having faith in ourselves. Faith that will that he will answer our prayers. And answer to the prayer of his people. Childlike faith is very, very important. You know, children, when they come and when they are hugged or picked up by the hands of their parents, they never thought that the hand of their parents will drop them down. So this childlike faith is needed to approach our God. So this and so many things are needed in order to seek the Lord. It must be also in patience. Some of us are impatient when we are approaching God, and we need instant answer. Of course, the Lord, according to his will, can give us instant answers, but sometimes we need patience. I would love to read for you what is written in Psalm 40. In Psalm 40, that wonderful psalm among the psalms. In Psalm 40, verse 1 and verse 2, I will read it. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. It's amazing. I waited patiently for the Lord. We must approach God, and it must be with full of patience. And if we come to him, and if we are patiently waiting for him, he will come down and he will bless us, and he will incline to hear our cries, and he will incline to heal us and to restore us. So these things are needed on how to seek the Lord. So if we seek him according to how it is described, we will be really harvesting peace and joy and answer to our prayers. So when I'm describing about this, the last thing I want to mention on how to approach or how to seek the Lord is it must be with diligence and perseverance. Because the passage tells us, till he comes. So for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come. So till he come, until he incline to us, and until he is willing to answer our prayers and to come to answer our prayers, we need to come before him. That is the actual definition of seek. Seek is frequenting a particular place. Come again and again and again and again without giving up. So the Lord will incline and will bless us. But my other point is, what is the result of seeking the Lord? Does seeking the Lord has result? Someone might ask. Seeking the Lord, of course, does have its own result. So many results. The first one that is mentioned is in my passage. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon us. So if we seek him, he will come, definitely. And he will visit us, and he will restore us. There is a result, no doubt, if we are truly seeking for him. And he will rain righteousness. This raining righteousness is his giving forgiveness and restoration to the land and to those who are seeking for him and to those who are encouraged and exhorted to seek for him. So he will come down and he will rain righteousness for us. There is, of course, a result in seeking the Lord. In my life, in Christian life, in the history of my Christian life, I have seen so many a time the Lord answering prayers. Many, many wonderful answers. And if we are willing to pray, and if we are really coming before him in prayer and seeking his face and his graciousness and his mercy and kindness, he comes. And he answers our prayers. He will answer your prayer. And he will turn the tide of your problems. Amazingly, he will turn it over. And he will come and visit you. And he shall send revival to the land, even in this dark period of history of America. He will turn the tide and he will send revival, even in the midst of us. So there is a result. And we must expect a result in finding the Lord as well. So the result, another result I have registered here, you will find him. Of course you will find him. He will come and he will be with you. And he will guide you. He will take away the loneliness that you are fearing. You will find him himself, and he will be your true friend, God the Almighty, and you will serve him, and you will be a child of him, the Almighty God. It's amazing. Seeking the Lord has a result. And finally, in the result of seeking the Lord, he will give you peace of mind, true assurance of salvation, and your final destiny will be in heaven. So these all things are inside this seeking the Lord. It has a definite result. So I'm encouraging you really to seek the Lord in this difficult time we are living in, not only in America, throughout the world. If you go to Europe, you can find the same situation. If you go to Middle East, you'll find a very, very difficult situation. If you go to Asia, worldliness and atheism and so many pagan religion is full of nations. So if we, people of the Lord, are willing to seek the Lord here as people of the Lord, maybe the Lord our God will restore so many things as an answer to our prayers. It doesn't matter. Our number doesn't matter. Our manyness or smallness doesn't matter. And we must and must seek the Lord, because it is time to seek the Lord. What shall we do? My final concluding remark. In my what shall we do of this my passage this morning, I want to mention a few things. Let us know the time we are living in. We must know in what time we are living in. It is the time to seek the Lord. There is no time, for my understanding, that we do not need to seek the Lord. But particularly and especially, this is a time to seek the Lord. So let us know this is the time to seek the Lord. And let us not give up walking in faith and gathering together in prayer meetings. I noticed many people are not coming to join the prayer meeting, but we must come and join prayer meeting, because seeking the Lord is, of course, a personal issue, but it is also a corporate thing. We must gather together before the Lord in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we must pay sacrifice in order to seek the Lord. If we really need the blessing of the Lord in this nation, we must gather together to seek Him. And I encourage you to come on Wednesday prayer meeting. Maybe Pastor, he told you, I know. But I encourage you to come on prayer meeting. It is important. Any revival of the history of Christianity began, every revival, I can say, began in prayer meeting. So if we gather together, and if we pour out our heart before the presence of Him, and if we seek Him diligently, gathering together in our families and in a corporal prayer meeting here in Open Door Baptist Church, the Lord will incline His face towards us, and He will bless Indianapolis and other states and the whole America. So what shall we do then? We must gather together. We shouldn't give up gathering together. And let us also be united in spirit and in our heart. God, our God, loves unity. We must come in unity, in oneness of spirit. Then the Lord will be happy if we gather together in His name, two and three, united in oneness, in love. The Lord, our God, will be in our midst. And He will answer our prayers. Let us invite many to come and hear the message of grace in this place. I sometimes say, when I hear preaching here by Pastor Weigel and Pastor Porter, I say, if many people were here, if many people were here and hear them, it's amazing. The exposition of the Word of God. So let us invite many people to come and to hear the message of grace in this place. What shall we do? I'm talking. Seek the Lord in your personal prayer time. And also, I said, join the prayer meeting in Sunday. Don't wait for some circumstances to change, like regime change. Some people think when Trump gone, I will seek the Lord. No, no, don't say like that. Or when Obama gone, I will seek the Lord. Don't think some circumstances to change. Come before Him. And when you come before Him, He knows how to change circumstances. So the way circumstances will be changed is by approaching God and by seeking Him and coming to Him. And even our personal life, you cannot change your life by your own desire or by following worldly ideas and imaginations. The only person I know who can change the life of young and old is our God through His almighty power. So come to Him. Don't wait for some things to happen. Some people say, when I finish my education, and when I get some good work, and when some pain is gone, don't put some stumbling blocks or some excuses. Come before the Lord as you are, and you will receive and you will get forgiveness and blessing from the Lord. Seek Him and seek the Lord in repentance and trusting in what He has done on Calvary Cross. If there is someone who is not yet saved this morning, I want to invite you to seek Him for your own salvation. If there is someone who is in a distressful situation, I encourage you to seek the Lord, because it is time to seek the Lord. It is time. Don't wait another time. You might not get another comfortable time. It is time to to seek the Lord. Let us pray. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your great kindness and mercy you have given us in this church, Open Door Baptist Church. We thank you for the pastor. We thank you for every member of this congregation. We thank you for their love. We thank you for their care for every one of us here. Gracious Lord, bless this church and bless mightily this church by encouraging each one of us to seek our great God and Almighty Father by true spirit and in faith always. Oh, bless each one of us and help us to follow your kindness and greatness by seeking after your grace and your kindness. We thank you for this time and bless each one of us, we pray, in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.